Blog Talk Radio.
An opening theme to this great show that just keeps on picking up steam each and every week. Renegade Sticks. This is the Gross Misconduct Podcast, hosted by a brother, a mentor, and a friend to me, Kip Gross. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing this, playing a little co-host with him. We're both in hot weather. He's in Phoenix. I'm in Los Angeles, 347-205-9631. 30 minutes goes by quick. If you happen to miss it, catch the archive, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, where you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I lay that red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, Kip, the opening theme, we emptied the jukebox.
Great music right there. Yeah, that was good stuff for sure. Yeah, it's going to be hot. Well, it is a hot one here today, and in Phoenix and Scottsdale, I actually feel kind of good because the prediction was 107 degrees, but it's only 106. So we didn't quite get to the high, but it's still pretty warm here. But let's have a good one today.
Yeah, how can people get a hold of you, my friend, as well?
KipGross.com. Go on there, and you can get a hold of me anytime you want. I'll get an email from that, and I'll answer any and all questions. And, call on the show, and let's chat.
You know, I want to start with Phoenix right now because it brings up an interesting thing, and it's a growing city, kind of like Las Vegas. They're talking about the NBA now expanding in a couple of years. Vegas is at the forefront, bringing it back to Seattle. But the big question is, and I like it in Arizona, is they're trying to situate that Coyotes situation, the hockey team. And I've always said if an owner wants to come in there and bring his hockey team in there or bring whatever he wants to bring in there. They're trying to go after the taxpayers for the money, and I guess that's been the battle there in Arizona. Now we don't know what the Coyotes are doing. Originally they were going to Tempe. They were going over to Mesa maybe. They were going where, you know, the Cardinals were playing. What's the latest you're hearing in there, that area, as far as what's going on with hockey? Because I hate to see it go out of Arizona. Boy, those fans and the people have really got the behind the Coyotes.
Yeah, it's pretty much a mess here. They went from playing in the really, really nice hockey stadium to now they're playing at Arizona State, and they're sharing the stadium, the hockey rink with the college team there. It's down to 5,000 people for you can get in there. It's really nice as far as being able to be really close to the ice. But it just feels kind of weird because there's not as many people. But it's just a mess. I mean, they're constantly trying to get fans to come out, and they're just not putting the best team on the ice for everybody to come out and watch. Here they did improve quite a bit the second half of the season, but then again they went backwards again. And so, you know, when you're only getting 5,000 people for in your stadium a night, and you know it's not even that many because they're not winning. It's really hard to put it together, but yeah, it's got to come down to the city building a stadium or putting something together for them. So we're going to find out shortly because I think they have a 3-year lease with Arizona State. So we're going to find out pretty shortly. But you know, it's a fun game to go watch, that hockey game, because it's nonstop action. Even during the breaks, there's always something going on the ice. You know, bringing kids out. You know,
yeah,
hitting pucks, playing games out there, and it's a fun thing to watch for 3 hours if you really have time to go watch hockey. but take your jacket.
Well, and not only that, we definitely saw that with the Chargers when they moved up to L.A. They were playing in the Home Depot Center. It looked like a jukebox, to say the least. I think that thing sat 27,000. Good luck if the Steelers, the Bears, the Packers, the Raiders, or any of those big-name teams came into your backyard. They were buying up all the tickets, and there wasn't anything for the locals unless they wanted to pay three times the amount. So I can imagine in Arizona when the Penguins, the Rangers, and some of these – you know, big teams come in, they're trying to buy the tickets, and the face value is going through the roof. It's like a mortgage.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I went to a couple games last year, and then I went to a couple this year. We kind of split it up between the good and bad teams or the famous teams, well-known teams. And there's no question what you're saying, that the tickets are bought up from the visiting fans, and their jerseys are everywhere, and you don't see hardly any of the Arizona jersey. So what you're saying is 100%. And it's kind of a shame. You know, they're always trying to call everybody and try to get them to buy season tickets, but it's just, do you want to buy season tickets for a team that's not going anywhere? And, right. You know, they're limbo. You don't even know if they're going to be in Phoenix in a couple of years. So, you know, do you or do you not? Most people right now are saying, I do not. So, yeah, it's a tough situation.
Yeah, we saw how Vegas did it. They did it right before they came in there, marketed it all through the surrounding states, and then they laid a good foundation. And I hear in Vegas, when you go to a game there, they really put the King's Court there. So everybody's trying to follow that. Seattle's trying to follow it. And I like to see Arizona get it. So prayers and thoughts going to your city and state there to get hockey locked and loaded down there in the desert. Hey, you know, it's the All-Star break. It's that time again. And when you played the game, they didn't have this kind of break that they're having now. The Dodgers and Angels played their last game on Saturday, so they had Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They don't reconvene to wherever they are, and if it's pretty convenient for them, they'll pretty much have a week off. How tough is it when you played the game? I mean, it was like the All-Star game, and then it was back to traveling again. So I guess it was, you know, let's go to Cabo San Lucas, and oh, by the way, we got to fly tomorrow morning.
Yeah, there it is. You know, in 1991, Tom Browning and Jack Armstrong made the All-Star team, and I'm actually flying back. I don't remember where the All-Star game even was, but I'm flying back to Denver to see my family. And I'm actually on the same plane with them. And it's just one of those things when you got to get on that. As soon as that game's over, you got to get dressed as fast as you can and get to where you want to go because, yeah, you're limited on your time of how we're going to go. And then you might have delays here and there. And so you've got to really kind of make sure things going to work getting there and getting back because you can't be late in baseball. I mean, that's number one rule in baseball is don't be late. I got a quick little story for you. When I was with the Dodgers,
yeah.
I was in AAA. At the time of at the All-Star break, and I decided I'm going to go up north a little bit and just see a little bit of New Mexico. And I'm about an hour away, and I get a call from Billy Russell, who was the manager of the All-Star game. And he says, hey, is there any way you can come pitch in the All-Star game? And I'm like, what are you talking about? He says, we're short pitching. So I turned around and came back, and I actually pitched in the AAA All-Star game that year. And it was you know, it was just a kind of a weird thing, but it was just kind of a weird story that happened with me. But yeah, the All-Star break is one of those things where you just got to kind of plan it out and make sure everything is detailed because you can't be late coming back or else you're in trouble.
Yeah, and not only that, it's almost like let's say the All-Star game's in an Eastern city and you open, you know, after the All-Star break, the close proximity to another Eastern city, it would work out beautiful because. Let's, for instance, if it's in New York, you can take in the Statue of Liberty and everything, and then, you know, you got to play in Boston. Well, heck, you know, it's a three-hour drive or whatever. It's not bad. But if you're in one of these cities where you got to go 2,500 to 3,000 miles away, you might as well just stay home or just get a jump on that city, bring the wife, the kids, and everything, enjoy it, have an extended vacation in the place where you're going to be opening up after the All-Star break. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You've got to, you know, when you're on airplanes and stuff and even driving or whatever, you're going to have delays here and there, and you only have so much time to be with your family or wherever you're going to go on your little mini vacation. So, yeah, you've got to make sure everything's written out for you and it's done just to the T. I mean, you know, some of these airlines, they cancel flights on you left and right, so that's not a good thing, and so you don't know. But that's a great idea, what you're saying, is just go where your next opening game is going to be and be there meeting your team when they get there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. When you look at the first half of the Major League Baseball season, is there anything that stands out to you, disappointment-wise, surprises, and we'll get into the second half. Give me a couple disappointments. Give me a couple of surprises. I'll throw you some disappointments, and I'll throw you a couple surprises, and we'll break down what we look forward in the second half.
Yeah, well, number one, you got your New York teams out there. They're, you would think that they'd be up there on top, but it just, you know, there's injuries. You understand the injuries happen, and that's kind of the reason why some of those happen. New York Yankees just fired their hitting coach because they're blaming the hitting on him, and so they're bringing in the other guy, Sean Casey, who is a 300 hitter, which I'm very ecstatic about because hopefully they're going to bring back, you know, the 300 hitter instead of the 210 hitter that hits 25 home runs, which is what I really like to watch instead of sitting there waiting for a home run or a strikeout all day. And the Mets out there, it just goes to show you, money just can't win you titles. You know, and LA's been trying to do it for years. The Yankees tried doing it for years, and yeah, they won a couple titles back when. But you know, the surprises for me, I would have to say, are Tampa Bay doing what they've done so far, and Arizona, no question about it, in the West. It just, you know, last year we went to probably about a dozen or so games last year here, and it was crazy because every, you know, we go so many times a month or whatever, but the later we were going during the season, I seen a big improvement in the team. You know, the pitching was getting better. They just had a couple guys last year, like their second baseman, shortstop, and a couple others that just weren't hitting the ball good. And then they, you know, they made a couple trades and brought some rookies up, prospects. And Arizona, I think it's going to be an exciting time for the second half of these guys because, you know, nobody expected anything out of them, and here they are doing what they're doing in the West, which is a tough, tough division for sure. You know, so I think they're going to be really good here coming up soon.
Well, you're right about the New York teams. I'm going to throw some teams that I think are disappointments, and I had one of them to get to the World Series in the National League. Yeah, they could turn it around. They're sitting 8.5 games out in the National League West at 43-47, are the San Diego Padres, and they went out and loaded the wagon trains, and, you know, Hader's been a mainstay in that bullpen. Lights out, but the bats just haven't come around. Bogarts, Machado trying to find himself, Tatis Jr., but the Padres have been a big disappointment. And another team that's kind of a disappointment, in you know, you kind of look at it and they're a quiet dynasty, and it's, you know, the Bible's right up there with Cardinal baseball, is the Cardinals sitting in last place in the Central, 11.5 games out. And the third one would be the whole American League Central, that division, like this, they're all hovering around 500, and unless you're the Kansas City Royals, you have a chance even 10 games under 500. So they're my biggest disappointments, is that those teams. The surprise is, well, the Baltimore Orioles, you know, are just simply amazing. The Miami Marlins are running roughshod, and you threw Arizona in there. I'll throw the Texas Rangers in there, too, those three teams, and Bruce Bochy, I was blessed enough to cover him for 3 years in San Diego. This guy, I'm telling you, Kip, he just seems that wherever he goes, he turns organizations around. San Diego, I know he didn't get him a World Series, but San Francisco, now he's in Texas, and look what Texas is doing. So there's my surprises, Texas, Baltimore, and Miami, and you saw my disappointments with St. Louis, San Diego, and the whole American League Central. Any thoughts?
Yeah, first of all, I know Boach, and he's just a baseball guy. He's so smart about everything he does, and he's such a player's manager, and that goes a long, long ways in the game of baseball. You know, some of these managers out there, they kind of dictate everything that goes on. They don't let you play, and he's one of those guys that he's in your court no matter what, and that's kind of what you want as a player, because you know you want somebody to have your back no matter what happens on that field. And so he's like that. Yeah, the Rangers, you know, I'm going to just say suspect on them right now because they are fantastic, no question about it. But that second half's got to come around. And, you know, you've seen the collapses of them in the past out there. So we'll see about that. The Orioles, no question. I'm really proud of what they turned that organization around because, man, they were the dumpster fire for quite a few years. And then, you know, you stick with them and bring guys up from and build up from the draft, and they're doing that. And, yeah, some of these big-name teams, you look at them every year and you say, geez, look at the payroll. How are you not getting there with that payroll you have? But that's the thing about baseball is, you know, you can have the biggest payroll you want, but the problem is, are these guys sitting on their contracts or they really want to play? And I think you have a lot of that sitting on your contracts. I mean, look at Judge out there. You know, I would have bet my life last year that he wasn't going to miss a game because it was contract year and he didn't miss a game this year. Look at him. You know, he got his big deal and you know, I'm not saying that he's that guy, but at the same time, it just goes to say, you know, these guys get the contracts, next thing you know, they get a fingernail, you know, ingrown fingernail, and they sit and go on the DL for forever. And then it's just one of those things where it's such a long, long season, and you got to bear with it and just stay in there and hang as best you can because the best thing about some of these teams, the surprise teams, like you're saying, is they've got to wait until the second half and get hot at the right time at the end of the season when they do maybe make the playoffs, being, you know, not even a 500 team, because those kind of teams can surprise a lot of people and knock people out too. And I'm going to tell you, the St. Louis Cardinals, I'm going to give you my reasoning in a second. What's the number one thing you got to have on a baseball team is pitching. And what helps control the pitching is your catcher. And look who left the team last year. Yeah, I'll go to my grave saying that there's a reason why they
Yadier like Molina.
Yes. Yep.
No doubt about it. He controlled that pitching staff, and they're having a little problems with Contreras there. He's trying to work out the kinks, and I thought being in that same division would kind of help him, but it's been a hindrance a little, but I'm sure the Cardinals will be heard from in the second half. I think the Padres will also be heard from in the second half. And, you know, the second half is an interesting thing, and you've seen it more ways than one, Kip, that a few years ago we saw the Washington Nationals in the first half struggle, try to find their legs, and, boy, the second half came around, and they were ready to take out some teams come playoff time, and they rolled them, the Dodgers, and you know, they won the World Series. So I'm looking at those teams late August that are starting to click as they go into September. Those are the teams you got to watch out for. I think the Toronto Blue Jays can come untracked, and those are going to be my surprises, to say the least. And we'll see if the Reds can hold on the top spot. You know, that division's pretty much wide open. The Cubs will probably have something, and the trading deadline will have something to say as well, I would imagine.
Yeah, that trade deadline, you just never know what they're going to bring out anymore and who's going to go where. And I think some of your payrolls are going to be kind of cut a little bit, especially with pitching, because, you know, everybody wants pitching come September and October, right? So that's when some of your top pitchers might just say, you know what, I'm waving that trade clause, and I'm headed out to try to win a World Series because we're not doing it here, no matter what they're making. But, you know, it's still the teams still have to make that trade, and they've got to work things out between them. And sometimes these guys are making so much money that the teams that want them are maybe going to have to spend a little extra in the minor leagues to get them, you know, bringing up prospects for the other team. So it's a hit or miss proposition. You know, back when I used to say David Cohn was the trade guy every year. And, you know, it seems like every year he was on the trading blocks and went to one of the winning teams every year. And so, you know, he was one of the highest paid players too. He's always on 1 year contracts for whatever reason, but it's a tough deal. You know, one thing I've always said about baseball, though, and I know there's a lot of people disagree with me, though, is I've always said if I was a commissioner for one day, I wouldn't allow trades after spring training starts because, you know, it's just your big teams with all the money. You know, they're the ones that you know, they upgrade their teams every year, and it doesn't give those other teams a shot to win. And so I would like to see it happen once or twice and just see what really happens with the trades come around the deadline.
Yeah. Is there a surprise out there in the second half for you that we should watch out for?
You know, I think you're going to see some of these teams, but like the Arizona last year, they're improving. You know, they brought up their prospects and now they're really, really clicking and gelling as a team, and that's what you got to have. I mean, 1990 with the Reds, I mean, it was there really wasn't any big name players on the team. You know, you had your nasty boys who are only big name only because of what happened that year. And but the team just clicked. I mean, every day in the clubhouse, you come in after the game and everybody's playing Can't Touch This, you know, the song, and everybody's dancing and having a good time. And then the next year in 91, it just wasn't that way because everybody won the World Series now, won their, got their rings, and it was like, okay, let's sit on it. And so the gel wasn't there anymore. And so some of these teams, you know, like Pittsburgh and whatever, they can do it. It's just they've got to get it together and get that and throw strikes. And these hitters, I think one of these days they gotta stop trying to hit that long ball all the time. And just put the ball in play. When you got two strikes, just put the ball in play and see what happens. But
no doubt about it. You know, when you look at that, you know, and you played a lot in those cookie cutter type of environments, Pittsburgh, St. Louis, Cincinnati. Is the dimensions any different, maybe give or take a few feet, in any of those cities?
They were all pretty much the same thing. You know, you had your circle, your big old circle fields out there, and you know, the only difference, you had the Astrodome. People don't even remember what the Astrodome was. That was absolute unbelievable. You had to hit it. I mean, you had to, if you're going to hit a home run there, you had to hit it. But these other stadiums, you know, like you're saying, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and those, it was, yeah, they were all the same. Everything was about the same. And then you had your other teams come in, you know, like the Astros built down out there. Then you got the short porch in left. You got the graveyard in center. I mean, remember they had the slope out in center field, and the right field. So I like seeing the different dimensions. I really do. I think it's cool for baseball. Like Fenway Park, they came up with what they had, but you know, they had to build that field on a certain, because there was a street out there, so they had to build with the monster out in left field in Fenway. And so that's why Yankee Stadium did what they did. They kind of basically just, you know, made a replica. And so I definitely like different stadiums and how they build them now. But yeah, those old cookie cutters are gone. And well, I shouldn't say all of them. You still have Oakland up there with what they've had for years and years. But that's going to go away soon in Vegas. So it's baseball. Baseball is good when you get to a stadium that's filled with everything that they build in these stadiums. You know, with all the boxes and all the restaurants and stuff. Now, in the old days, they just weren't there. You had fans and stands and that was about it. But it's getting fun now with these stadiums.
Yeah, not only that, I can remember the Pirates going to St. Louis, and you know, they wore those crazy outfits back then, and that all black in St. Louis on a hot July. I mean, that AstroTurf must have been 130. I'm going, who's the guy that coordinated this to go out in all black in St. Louis on the artificial turf where you could just see the heat just come up? So I can imagine, you know, those players back then, they shed some weight in a hurry.
Yes, it was. There's no question. You know, when I was with the Reds, true story here is, you know, it gets so hot there. I mean, you could actually see the heat when you're in the dugout coming off the AstroTurf out there. And the trainers, they would actually get big bins and trays of ice, and they'd set them in the dugout. So when the outfielders and the fielders came in, they would actually put their feet in those ice around their cleats to cool them. Their feet were that hot already. And then you had your Florida water with your ammonia, and you know, the towels were everywhere in buckets, and you'd have to put them over your head and your face just to cool down. And you're right. 120 degrees was just happened. And there, I don't know if you remember, but way back when, about that time, I think it was St. Louis, the grounds crew got the brilliant idea of going out and putting cold water on the field before the game. Turned out to be an absolute disaster with the team coming up. You look at it, it was hilarious. I mean, it wasn't funny, but it was funny in the long run. But it was a disaster. It just got that brilliant idea to put cold water.
Oh my god, that was absolutely crazy. I could just imagine you could fry hot dogs and eggs out there on the artificial turf, and when you go down to Miami. Give me plenty of bananas for potassium to keep me going. Hey, you know, we have so much fun on this show, and we just dive into so many things. We just don't have enough time. But I want to take the last 5 minutes into the MLB draft. And we were talking in the pre-chat about this with Paul Skeens. The Pirates selected the pitcher from LSU. Posing figure, upper 90s velocity on his you know, fastball and strikeout rate near 48%. I think he had 50 innings where he laid down the guys three up, three down. I think, you know, I would have went with Dylan Cruz. I'm not going to argue with the Pirates, but I think the $10 million signing bonus was pretty, you know, hefty. Because Dylan Cruz kind of reminded me of a Bryce Harper type, and I think he'll be a Bryce Harper. But Skeens is a pitcher and a hitter. I guess he fits the city, and you're going after guys that kind of fit the city, I would imagine. Am I right, Kip?
Yeah, they were talking about that on Major League Baseball or Major League Network the other day about how now these teams are now actually getting an identity with who they draft and who they're putting together. And so what you're saying, yes, other people are seeing that also. But Skeens, you know what? The draft is so unpredictable. You know, and it's a tough one to just say this guy's going to come in and dominate right away. I mean, there was a few years ago that kid from California, SC, you know, he was the kid. I think he walked like three guys all season or something like that. And everybody's saying this guy should go right to the big leagues. He should just get a contract and go. The kid only pitched like 2 weeks in the big leagues in his whole career. And, you know, so it's a big risk factor no matter who you're taking. But, you know, when you got a guy like Skeens, I really like his changeup. I think that's going to be his best pitch by far. I think we talked about it last week. You know, his slider for me is just too big for the big leagues. You know, those big league hitters are a different animal than college hitters. And it's a million miles away from college baseball to the big leagues because those guys are the best up there. And I think they're going to end up spitting on some of those sliders he throws. And I think he's going to have to tighten that up if he's going to be an effective pitcher in the big leagues. But his ball does move, which is good. He does throw strikes. I don't think he's got the greatest control is what they're saying, but he's definitely got the power to overpower a lot of guys if he learns how to spot his ball and throw that changeup. But I think you're going to see he's going to rely on that changeup once he gets into professional baseball because it's a dominant pitch.
No doubt about it. The four seamer too. I was surprised at what the Tigers did. They took a kid out of Franklin Community High School in Indiana, Max Clark, the center fielder. But I think the Rangers got a steal in the fourth pick in Langford coming out of Florida. We talked about it a little last week. We'll talk about the draft again next week on the show. But the high school and college is a whole different animal as well as college and the pros. I'm surprised that they picked a high school guy. I mean, there's a lot of great high school guys out there. But, you know, you want to develop yourself in college as well, or at least, junior college, because a lot of good players come out of there. Were you surprised that the Tigers, with the third pick, took that kid?
Yeah, it's a hit and miss thing, and especially when you go with a high school kid. You know, this kid's never been out of his house and been out of, you know, place. And, you know, there's just so many expectations of you. Once you sign that contract, and it's a completely different deal. So a lot of your high school kids, yeah, they make it, but a lot of them don't. And it's a tough one. I think that kid from Florida is going to be in the big leagues by the end of the season. I think he's that good. And, but yeah, the high school kids, you know, there's just so much unpredictability about what they're have once they step on that minor league field and got to get in a bus now and travel around. You know, you're going to be with your whole team now every day, day in and day out, going to be practicing with them. You've got expectations to go eat with these guys. You're never away from the team for 7.5 months. It's what you do. And so, you know, as a college player, you know, you're kind of already in that environment a little bit because you're already doing the bus trips. But then again, the NCAA restricts your time that you can actually practice and play. And once you get in the minor league, there is no restriction. So it's like, hey, the instructor says, hey, I need you at the field tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock so we can work on something, and you better be there. It's just how it works. And you know, in college, it's not like that. So the expectations and the daily grind is what separates most of these kids from the other ones. But yeah, it's a hit or miss. I think what we talked about, I think there was like 17 out of the 30 first round picks like 5 years ago that actually played in the big leagues. So there's a lot of market just not going to make it. You know, some of them get their money and they're like, you know, I'd just take my money and go. But we'll see what happens. I think it was a really good draft this year as far as the talent wise, though. So we'll see what happens soon.
Yeah, I want to get into the draft again next week. And I always tell people like this: this is not, you know, the French kid that San Antonio drafted, Wembanyama, you know, that's going to come right into the pros. And, you know, they what they don't understand is baseball, you got to go step by step. And you hone your skills, and that way, by the time you get up to the majors, they're going to find out if you can last for more than a cup of coffee or not. This is not, you know, the NFL. This is not the NBA or NHL where, you know, there's no minor league system in like baseball where you're just going to go out there and then, you know, either you swim or sink. We'll find out what these guys, but there's some guys I want to talk about next week on the show, including the Marlins pick. Tommy Troy that was drafted out of Stanford, Arizona, got him, I think, number 12. So we'll get into that next week. There's so much to talk about with this great show. Kip, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you, because the Gross Misconduct Podcast, we couldn't come up with a better name.
Yeah, it's, I love the name. There's no question. That's especially for myself and who I am. So. Yeah, kipgross.com, go on there and send me an email, get the number and of here, and you can call here and get on the show if you want. We can talk and answer questions from you. And so, yeah, kipgross.com.
We can't wait to get some of the ex-players on here as well, too, because a lot of people say, hey, let's get those guys on there. Hey, well, you know, we got to walk before you run. We'll get there, but we want to do things right. We're trying to come up with a logo, but we got the name. Well, as we wrap this up, for Kip Gross in hot Arizona, yours truly, Mark Mancini in hot Los Angeles. If you didn't hear it, catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. We'll be back again next Tuesday, same time, same channel. Till then, have a blessed week. Thanks for tuning. Tell all your friends. And, Kip, you have a good one, too. Get them Sealand fans going.
They're cranking right now. They're all on high, for sure. And that air conditioner is blowing really hard right now. So, yeah, we're good.
And as end the show, I'm going to predict the National League will stop the skid. They'll win tonight. I don't know what your prediction is.
Well, American League's, I think, won 9 in a row, but now we have the DH in the National League, so I think they're going to catch up some. So I think it's going to be probably what you're saying. National League might win this one finally.
Yeah, this show is like peanut butter and jelly. We don't know who's the peanut butter, who's the jelly, but we'll talk to you guys again next week. Have a blessed one, guys, and thanks for tuning in.